This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. How are you? Today's kind of neat. This book that we're going to talk about, and this author and talk about, this book is what I called like bite-sized change. And what I mean by that is there's a whole lot just packed into this book that is not very long, but very powerful. And we have the author Nancy Byrne with us. Nancy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, first of all, Nancy's business card is probably quite large because she is a psychic, spirit medium, medical intuitive, Reiki master, teacher, astrologer, and author. So I don't know how you fit that all on your business card, Nancy. But thank you so much for being here today. Now, the reason that I called this bite-sized change because of this book is because even people who aren't big readers can digest this book. Okay. Now, were you guided to make it this type of book? Because you said this is written by spirit. So explain a little bit about what that means.
Well, spirit really did write the book. It was all through automatic writing. And spirit told me to write the book because it would help a lot of people and similar situations that I have been through, and it would empower people. So I several years ago, a girlfriend had told me I should write about my life's experiences because it would really help a lot of people. And I sat down and wrote half a chapter, and you know, it was so depressing. People would have been suicidal. So I really, really believe that this book was written by spirit because it's not my style.
What do you mean by that? It's not your style.
Well, it's just lots of things are so close to home that I would have been less upbeat, I think, about it. It was when I read, which was just recently before we moved to Washington, when I read, I found the manuscript that I had started, and I was in tears. I read it to my husband, and I said, oh, my gosh, if anybody would have read this book that had been suicidal, it was so down and dark, and it was just not like, it's not like the book Choices, which I think is kind of upbeat and looking at the positive and not all about, oh, doom and gloom and woe is me, which is what I had written.
Oh, yeah. And you can feel it when you hold this book. You can actually feel it. And it's not just because there's a lot of awesome, you know, exclamation points and capital letters. Because let me tell you, that right there is telling me someone's having fun while they're writing. Okay. Now, how long have you known that you were a psychic and spirit medium?
I guess I just found out within the last probably 2 or 3 years. But when I used to counsel people, I would like say stuff and they would say, how did you know that about me? I never said that to you. And or someone would say something and I would be able to give them information that normal people wouldn't be able to give them. So I guess I kind of had a feel for it, but I never really did readings or anything like that prior to that time.
Okay, we should tell everybody that that you had studied psychology, University of Colorado, and you've worked at Adolescent Psychiatric Treatment Hospital and an executive director for Women in Need Support Group and a rape crisis center, as well as dealing with victim services as well with the police department. So you have dealt with and your spirit moved you to actually help those in need, after having gone through quite a bit yourself. Do you mind filling someone in about some of the, and I'm doing this in air quotes, highlights?
Of my childhood, you mean? Or?
Yes, of your life that led you into this world of wanting to help others and deal with spirit.
Well, I grew up in a very abusive home. My mother and I were beaten on a regular basis. My father raped me until I reached puberty, as early as I can remember. And I just remember one time going into it. We lived across the street from a Catholic church, and I was about 10, I think, or 11 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just, for some reason, I was just so depressed. And actually, my mom had taken me to the doctor, and he had put me on these little nerve pills, he said. And turns out they were pretty heavy-duty tranquilizers. Wow. And I remember sneaking out one Friday evening when Dad had gone to the bar and going to the church. It was dark, and I walked up to the front pew, and there were two penance candles, and the Catholic Church people light candles for penance. And so I sat there, and I was just bawling and bawling, and I was just... I guess I was trying to put God on a guilt trip. I said, you know, there's so many people that just really want to live, and they die. And I really want to die, so why are you making me live? Please, please let me die. And I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I thought, oh, it's the Catholic priest, and now he's going to take me back home, and I'm going to get beat up for sneaking out of the house. And I turned around, and there was no one there. And when I looked back and looked at the front of the altar, it was just all lit up. It was just, it was just kind of a golden glow. I've never seen it before. And I just felt, you know, Spirit's presence so, so greatly. It was just like, and I felt so ashamed of myself that here I'd been given this great miracle and gift of life, and I was asking to just have it taken away from me because I didn't want it. And I just felt like, and I was just a kid, but I felt like I had a purpose and that I was supposed to help people. So,
that is,
you know, I don't know.
Wow.
And it wasn't words or anything. It was just a feeling I had.
Yeah. And you want to know what? I know, everybody listening, this can be hard to listen to, but this is life. And those of you that are listening may not have gone through the exact same trauma or tragedy that Nancy has, but you can hear in her that the pain, but then also the resolve that I'm going to pick myself up. I've been given a gift of saying, all right, you do have to stay on this earth. So as you were growing up and trying to heal yourself from all of this, because it's an ongoing process, how do you think that Spirit actually helped you with all of this change? And how can others connect with Spirit to help with their own changes?
I really believe that we, and that's the title of the book, have choices. You can let adverse circumstances bring you down. You can wallow in, you know, feeling sorry for yourself and think about doom and gloom, or you can just try to rise above it and become better for it. I heard a story about two twin brothers one time, and I've talked about this before, but they were identical twins. One of them was on death row for being a serial murderer, and the other one was a priest. And the newspaper man went to interview him, and he went to the brother on death row and asked him, you know, what led him to choose the path that he had chosen, you know, that put him on death row. And the brother said, well, you know, we had a really abusive father. He beat us regularly. He was a drunk. What choice did I have? You know, this was my only choice. And the interviewer went and talked to the priest, who had received all kinds of awards for service to humanity and just was just a really wonderful person. And he asked him the same question, what led you to the life that you are living in now? And the priest gave him the identical answer that his brother gave him. He said, you know, we were brought up in a very abusive home. My father was a drunk and beat us on a regular basis. What choice did I have to try to undo some of the evil that he had done by helping others? And I think we do. We all have choices. It's just, there was a verse on Facebook, of all things, that said, you know, boiling water will make a potato soft and it'll make an egg hard. It's not your circumstances. It's what you're made of. And we all have so much in us. We can make the right decision if we can just, if we just know that somebody who is just the most amazing, I mean, Almighty Spirit wants us to lead happy, healthy, prosperous lives. And I mean, if I really believe that if God's for you, who can be against you?
And even though, you know, we have this support from Spirit and the Holy Spirit, this doesn't mean that, you know, just because you go through one thing, you're one done. because do you believe in the adage, you will never be given more than what you can handle?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because, you know, that, a very traumatic childhood, but I actually love the chapter you did about your accident, about your knee. Could you tell us about that?
My skiing accident?
Yes.
We have a tendency, I think sometimes, many of us do, I know I do, to listen to other people instead of to listen to our own inner guidance. And my ex and I were elders in this Bible packing, speaking in tongues, you know, a Pentecostal church. And we had gone up skiing with another couple who were elders. And anyway, I was a really, really pretty good skier. I was used to skiing on the black diamond slopes, and this was just a blue black, and it was a really cloudy, visibility was really bad, and the my friend said, why don't we let the guys go up on one last run, and we'll just go down to the lodge and have some hot chocolate and sit by the fire. I thought that was a great idea, and I was so tired, I wasn't doing a good job of skiing anyway, so I told my husband that Linda and I were going to go down and get a cup of hot chocolate, and he said, are you kidding? We paid a fortune for these ski tickets. We've got to get the most bang we can for the buck, and so we'll go up one more time, and then we'll both join them for hot chocolate at the lodge. So I went up, and I didn't want to have an argument in front of them or, you know, cause a scene, because my husband was very stubborn and always had to get his way. So we went up, and I hit a patch of black ice, and even though I know better, I locked my knees, and I did the most amazing flip. You would have thought I was training for the Olympics. It was spectacular, except
wow.
That I landed on my face.
Oh,
and I remember thinking, I can't handle this pain, and I think I must have blacked out, because when I came to, there was this little boy crying on the side of the mountain, and if I would have hit him, I would have pushed him right over the side. So I was trying to dig in my fingernails and, you know, my skis and everything, and I stopped right before I got to him, and I sat up and I said, I think I just broke my whole face. And he looked at me and he quit crying and he skied off. Poor little guy. So then you'd think I would have learned my lesson, but I didn't. And I didn't want to go down in one of those body bags. I was just terrified so I basically slid down the whole mountain on my rear that time. So the next year, we were on the exact same slope with the exact same couple. And again, visibility was bad. And my friend said, let's go to the lodge and just talk and have some chocolate. And again, I told my husband, and he said, no, let's just go up. And literally, Lisa, my inner guidance was screaming at me.
Oh, I bet it was.
to get off that mountain. And I just can't believe that I actually got on it again. And this time I was injured so badly, they did have to take me down in one of those body bags.
Yeah, wasn't it like half of your leg was dangling or something? I mean, below the knee, or someone had to... Here's the deal. Doesn't matter exactly what it was, but this time it was worse. So
it was worse.
If you had listened to that inner guidance, because some people want to know, what is that voice? Is that God? Is that my spirit guide? Is it my conscience? I mean, does it really matter what it is if it's talking to you?
I think that we're all, you know, just we're all given this inner guidance. It's like a GPS system. I think it's from spirit, our spirit guides, angels. Just some almighty force that really is watching our backs, and we all have it. And you know, it's just annoying sometimes. You know what you're supposed to do, but we don't listen to it. And you know, it's like having a best friend. If you never talk to your best friend or have any communication with them, and you only call them when you really are in dire need of something, you're not a very good friend. And I feel like we have to do that with spirit. We have to listen. We have to try to have some sort of communication, and you know, be grateful when something great happens, when something good happens. You know, sometimes I've told Spirit that I'm so disappointed, and sometimes I don't think that Spirit has a very good sense of humor. I mean, I think Spirit thinks it has a good sense of humor, sure. But I don't like it sometimes. But it always turns out, whenever I listen, it always turns out, you know, for my highest good and my greatest joy. And so I finally am starting to learn to listen to my inner guidance, to Spirit, instead of to everyone else around me.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes Spirit tells you you have to eat your vegetables and you got to choke down a Brussels sprout and just, you know, stop whining about it, because eventually it's going to be good for you. And eventually it will. But if someone out there, if this is a new concept to them, Nancy, now, first of all, the reason I think Nancy's book Choices is great, like I said, it's sort of a bite-sized change thing. And if you want to start reading about how Nancy worked with Spirit through this, this is going to be a great chance for you. And we will have her website linked on our website. Okay, so Choices is the name of the book. And if somebody wants to start getting in touch with their spirit guides or their sense of purpose or their higher power, do you have any just words of wisdom about how they can go about doing that?
I think part of the process is learning to just be still and to go within. I think we scurry around like, you know, rats in a maze, and we hurry to get there so that we can hurry up and come back. And we're so caught up in pleasing people and being accepted and wanting to fit in that we don't take time for what's really important. And For me, I believe that the most important thing in the world is to get in touch with Spirit. No one can give you better guidance. I started just trying to meditate and trying to listen to Spirit's voice because I had ignored it for so many years. I think it was just almost silent. And then you just start, if you get a hunch or you feel something about, you know, about a situation, just start acting on it and see where it takes you. This isn't a very big thing, but, well, it was big probably to this lady, but I was driving home. I always drive the same way because I'm directionally challenged. And Spirit told me to take Midsummer instead of the regular road that I took. So I did, and it was a blizzard. It was pretty much a whiteout, and it was snowing so badly. And when I turned onto Midsummer, there was a lady's car parked there, or a car was parked there, and no one was in it. And I drove down the road, and there was this little lady walking with no jacket on. She had a little sweater held over her head. And I stopped to see if she needed help. And she said, well, she was going to pick up a couple of goats. And this was the only day she could pick it up. And she was afraid that the car would get stuck and she wouldn't be able to get the goats home. So I gave her a ride. And as it happened, it was a lady that I get raw goat's milk from.
Oh.
So we got the goats, and she thanked me when she went in, and she didn't come out. So I went in, and she was afraid that I wouldn't want the goats in my car. So she was going to walk back with the goats, and goats are really wimps. You know, they don't like rain. They don't like bad weather. So we put the two little goats in my car and took her back to her car. And so that was an opportunity for me to feel good about myself and help somebody. And if I wouldn't have listened to Spirit, I would have missed out, and that lady would have missed out too.
You know, and here is where the name of your book comes into play, because all the time I get asked, well, you know, how do I know if that was a message from my long departed, you know, whomever? And I said, well, what did you feel when it came through? And yet it is a choice. You can say, oh, well, my light just flickered because maybe somebody overloaded some circuit. Or you can say, hey, how you doing? And so it's a choice. However you want to look at it, it doesn't mean one is right and one is wrong. It's just which one's a better choice for you to help you feel better or move through life or help someone else feel better. Wouldn't you say that's about right with the choices?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's all about. And I think that there really is some divine, supreme being, the universe, the divine God, spirit, goddess, whatever name you use, that really, really wants us to live good lives. I don't believe we're created just to be miserable and to suffer. I think we do that to ourselves because we don't really realize the whole, we don't realize the all-encompassing, you know, love and care that that Spirit feels for us. We think we're unworthy, or we think we're sinners, or we think we deserve to, you know, to be punished or to be miserable, and that is not the truth.
Or we think we can't do it because, oh, I'm, you know, not a psychic like Nancy or like Lisa. I can't do that. That's what they do. No, everybody is born with the ability to connect with spirit. Absolutely everybody. It's as we grow up and we're told so-and-so and such doesn't exist that we start forgetting.
Exactly. You know, kids have, you know, imaginary playmates, and I think it's their angels guiding them. And then we tell them that that's dumb. People are going to think they're stupid. They shouldn't do that anymore. We all have just a whole entourage of spirit guides and angels that are with us every day trying to help us make the right choices for us. And a choice that I might make might not make any sense to you, or it might not be right for you.
Right.
But we all know, in our, we all know in our soul, in our gut, whatever it is inside of us, that we know what choices are best for us. We just don't listen sometimes.
That's true. And you talked about connecting with spirit, about meditation and silence and just going within. I want people to understand that there are many different forms of meditation as well. And yes, silencing is good, but sometimes people need something. And so sometimes you can meditate when you're washing dishes. If you're,
exactly,
if you're doing a repetitive motion, or even when you're out gardening, guys, you're out working on your car, or girls, you know, I mean, if it's a repetitive motion and you're in the moment and just really engrossed in that, you can go into a meditative state.
For me, I love being in nature. And to me, I just connect with spirit so much in nature. It just feels like I just can feel, you know, God's spirit's presence when I'm out in nature by myself hiking, or just
right,
sitting under a tree. I have had a cottonwood in my old house that I'd love to just sit under. And, of course, my dogs and my cats would all come around me. I used to have bees, and the bees would all be buzzing around me. They, animals love that energy.
I know. There's, it's like the two most psychic beings, right? Babies and animals. That's it. Those animals. You think cats are stupid because they're jumping at something at the wall? No. They're going, hey, human, there is a spirit right there.
Really?
Exactly. I'm letting you know someone's in the house. Hello. Do you, obviously you feel you have a spirit connection with your animals because they're big, your Dobermans and your cats, right?
Right.
So what,
yes,
what kind of, do they sort of assist you with healing as well? Because we know how in tune animals are to our, you know, our energies, our ups and our downs.
I really haven't done anything with them as far as healing, but at one point I belonged to this healing group, and on Mondays we would provide free healings to people that couldn't afford it, because I do Reiki, another lady did reflexology, and another lady was really into herbal essences, and she did this alternative healing thing that she did, and it was amazing because the lady's house who we usually did it at had this cat. This cat was the most obnoxious cat. He would hiss and snarl at everybody that walked by and didn't like people. Every time we put somebody up on the table to do a healing, this cat would jump on top of the person and lie right on their stomach. And after the healing was done, the cat would go outside and barf this putrid, awful, oh, and the stench was horrible. And the person would get so much better. And we would joke about it. We weren't the ones that were healing anyone. It was the cat that was taking all the negative energy out of the person and then getting rid of it. No wonder this cat didn't like people.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Really? I'm tired of it.
Well, we've been talking with Nancy Byrne. She's the author of Choices. We will have that link to her website on our website as well. And Nancy, we have come to the point that we like to call the RL3, which is the real life three. Three silly, goofy, sometimes off the wall questions that you have graciously agreed to answer. Is this correct?
Correct.
Okay. Here is your first one, and answer this however you want to. I never leave home without blank.
I never do anything without spirit.
Ah, nice. Do you literally say, okay, guys, we're going in the car. Jump in. Here we go.
Yes.
You know, I asked this a while back of my friend, and she said, lipstick. I said, what?
Oh,
come on. You never leave home without lipstick? That's going to be your answer to this? So I like your answer, Nancy. I like spirit. All right. Here is question number two. That's right. Laura, the producer here, she just pulled her chapstick out of it. It's like, I never leave without chapstick. Okay. Here is question number two, Nancy. You get front row and backstage to any performance, any artist. Who are you going to see?
Oh, my gosh. I love Sonia Choquette.
Oh, you're going to go see her. Sonia is a speaker, an author. Yeah. Have you ever seen her before?
I have. I've seen her twice. I was a featured author at the Louise Hay I Can Do It conference.
Absolutely.
Held in Denver this April, and she was there, and she has been through, talk about choices, she has been through so much, especially lately. And she is the most vibrant. I hadn't seen her for probably 7 years. She has totally, totally changed in those 7 years. She's alive. She's just not just talking. She's really alive, and you can feel her energy, and she just believes in what she says. And I just so admire her. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the things we've been through make us so much better people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I wouldn't want to go back and live my life over again the way it was. But you know what? I'm really glad that I did, because it made me who I am today. And with Sonia, it's the same thing. You can just see it in her face. She beams.
She does. She's like a flower. Well, here is your third and final question. And this is where we find out your fantasy name. So it's going to be the name of your first pet and the name of the street you grew up on. So what is the name of your first pet?
Samson.
Samson and the street you grew up on.
It was 409 North 12th Street in Rocky Ford.
Samson North 12th Street is your name?
Oh, yeah, that was a street, the name of the street I lived
12th
on.
Street. So technically it's Samson 12th Street. I don't know. It sounds like, you know, some character out of maybe, you know, a sitcom in the 80s or something. So you can get a hold of Nancy by clicking on the link, which happens to be right on the Empower Radio page. And you can pick up Choices. I believe it's on Amazon, isn't it?
It is. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. And you can get it through Balboa Press. And in Denver, it is on the shelves of tattered cover bookstores.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. We really appreciate you spending time with us today.
Thank you.